I know some people would think it blasphemous, but every Lent, several times during the Lenten season, I like to listen to the soundtrack of Jesus Christ Superstar. And it's pop music, but it's really a good rendering, an interesting rendering of the story of Jesus' crucifixion. There is a song in that album, I guess you don't call them albums anymore. There is a song, let's just say that. There is a song in which the singer says, "All your followers are blind, too much heaven on their minds." The commentary on the followers in the story is that they are so blinded by their loyalty to Jesus that they really can't survive in what these other people think is the real world. Now, today's gospel certainly makes two of Jesus' followers look very blind. As the gospel says, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They not only fail to recognize him, but they also then accuse him of not seeing, of not understanding, saying, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" But as one of the sources says of this passage in Luke intends us to understand that their senses were supernaturally dulled, not that they were blinded by intense preoccupation. In other words, God had some purpose in their not being able to see immediately that was Jesus walking with them. Now, why would God prevent them from knowing that it was Jesus who was with them? A couple of reasons that I can think of. One is just to underline that Jesus can live in ordinary human flesh, that can be in someone that's right beside us, and give them a chance to get used to that idea. Another reason could be to teach them to be vigilant about looking for Jesus. But I think a very good reason for the story being told this way or happening this way is so that this story can be built into one that has impact that they would always remember. This would underline the immediacy of Jesus' present, and they would have this story to tell years down the road, to tell of how the familiar was made mysterious and the mysterious was later made familiar, so that we can all begin to see the holiness in regular human encounters. Now, our senses are not dulled by God's hand, and yet we too fail to see Jesus. We expect to see Jesus in certain places, in church, in prayer, in meditation, in charity. These are the typical holy places. But where do we fail to see Jesus when Jesus is present? I think we fail to see Jesus in ourselves. We fail to see Jesus in people we don't like. We fail to see Jesus in discomfort and in tragedy. We miss seeing Jesus on the road right beside us. Part of it may be that we've been disappointed so many times that we're determined not to let it happen again. So we lower our expectations. And we say to ourselves, "Well, something good may happen, but I'm not going to get my hopes up." We're often blinded by those low expectations. And so we expect to see holiness only in a traditionally holy and religious setting. Like Jesus' followers in Superstar, we become blind, so much heaven on our minds, that we don't see Jesus right here on earth. We focus our attention and our energy on the afterlife and fail to see the holy moments in this life. Most of us are not blinded by divine intervention, but we miss seeing Jesus beside us. These two had heard the resurrection rumor, but they knew it simply wasn't possible. They dismissed it, as the gospel says earlier, they dismissed it as an idle tale. Who can blame them or us for failing to see Jesus in this fallen world? It isn't as if they could have predicted that a man they knew and loved, a man they saw executed, could be expected to walk around with them in human flesh. The circumstance wasn't one of many possibilities. It was something that had never happened before in human history. Can we blame them even if they missed it without God's blinding them? I think all of us have that limited expectation, that lowered expectation learned from years or decades of living in this world where things very seldom measure up to the good, much less to something as remarkable as this story. One way I find my way out of that or around that limited expectation, that low expectation, is I find some help in Holy Scripture. There is a place in Numbers where the writer urges the people to work a violet thread into the tassel of their garments at the hem. And they're asked to do that because that violet thread will remind them of the sacred nature of their community. So they have that one thread worked in to say, you're in a holy setting. Wherever you are, you're with God's people, and you're in this holy setting. He says the tassel with a violet thread was to be a reminder of the sacred character of our community. Think about that. If we somehow metaphorically can work a violet thread into everything we do and say, I'm going to look for the presence of God in everything. I'm going to find God in every encounter, in every experience, in everything I do. If we work that thread into our lives, then we will not miss seeing Jesus the next time. Everything becomes holy if we practice being holy and looking for the holy. Every moment of life is sacred if we acknowledge the divine in the human, if we work that violet thread in to remind us of the sacred nature of all human life. The story of the encounter on the road to Emmaus is another way we're called to work a violet thread into our lives, a reminder of the sacred. We have to practice being constantly mindful of the holiness of life, of the potential for holiness God has instilled in us, in regular human beings. We don't need to be in the sanctuary to see Jesus. We don't need to be in the other places we consider holy, whether they're the camp at Bratton Green or the work we do for charity or our churches or chapels. We don't have to be in those traditionally holy places to see Jesus. We need instead to practice working that violet thread into everything we do, everything we say, and then the sacred becomes part of everything we do. We can live with heaven on our minds, but we have to practice remembering that heaven is here too, now, in the encounters we have with one another. We have to be together in community, in church, in loving God and loving others. And in that community, we have to remember the sacred, to practice the sacred, practice working that violet thread into the hem of our everyday garments. We have to practice looking for God, not just in church, but in every human encounter. We remind ourselves of that need to practice holiness by remembering that one day when we realized Jesus walked with us. In our community, we say to one another, remember that day we met Jesus? Carrying the memory of that story, we will look at a person on the road with us today or Tuesday or any regular day and say, Jesus is here with us. Because when we acknowledge God's presence, a violet thread of holiness appears in our words, in our actions. We don't just have heaven on our minds, we overcome our blindness and see God in the here and now. I know it feels as if we're just walking on a typical road on a typical day, telling our unremarkable stories to the latest stranger to walk beside us. But this road is holy, and this road and every road becomes God's sanctuary. This moment is holy because that stranger we just met is Jesus. Amen.